right, I'm going to do something I've never done publicly before in your first service, so you get to see it before second service. You ready? When I was in elementary school, I remember being in my gym class with Mr. Neff, and there was a week where he had us learn how to juggle. And so we started, I think it was a tennis ball, but we would stand and you would look about, I don't know, like 3 feet up in the air, and you would just throw the ball to the same place over and over and over. This is where maybe my nerves will get in. We'll see how I do in front of all these people watching me. But then you go from one ball to two balls, right? This is why I don't do this publicly. There's a couple reasons, actually. But actually, once you've done two, it's easy. It's actually really easy to do three. So there, are you impressed? Are you? Yeah. Thank you for applause. It might be the first time I've ever gotten applause for doing that. I remember learning how to juggle and thinking, I'm going to impress people. And I remember being in elementary school thinking, I might impress a girl. Like, I wonder if the woman will marry me someday because I can juggle, right? Which Kami will be at second service, but I was talking to her about this yesterday and we were laughing because she's not impressed at all that I juggle, actually. And she said something like this yesterday: Jeff, a juggling pastor is borderline clown creepy. So that's another reason why I don't juggle in public. Anyway. But it's a talent, right? It's a skill. We have all kinds of crazy skills or talents. Actually, I got to throw this in here too. Yesterday, I was at a birthday party for a three-year-old from somebody in our church family. And there were four pinatas at the party. And every time the pinata was starting to break, the dad had the greatest timing I had ever seen, knew exactly how to rip the pinata open. Nobody got hit by a stick, and the candy was perfectly dispersed for all the kids. And I can't believe he's that good at that. It's this skill. It's a talent, right? Well, that's kind of a silly intro, but we're going to talk about not skills or talents. We're going to talk about gifts. These gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us for the beauty of the church. And I have a few things to say. I've preached on this before, and actually, if you've heard me talk about this before, I don't know that what I'm going to say is all that much different. My view on gifts hasn't changed that much. But if you're newer to the church, this sometimes is kind of like, wow, I had no idea. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit gave us gifts. So what I want to do is, there's four main passages, really, that talk about the gifts. None of them are identical, which we'll talk about why that's significant. I just want to read, so you know what I'm talking about, and then we'll kind of reflect on what we're learning. The first is from 1 Corinthians. If you're really into this, it's kind of a unit that goes from chapter 12 through chapter 14. The church in Corinth was experiencing some pretty incredible gifts from the Spirit, but they were really selfish and indulgent and having all kinds of problems because of their gifts. So Paul spends a lot of time trying to help the church navigate how to, the Spirit of God is moving in your midst. How do you do this in a way that honors Jesus? And then you'll see the other lists are really short, the passages. So let me just read a little bit from 1 Corinthians 12. We won't read the whole chapter, but I'll emphasize the parts that I think are significant for our conversation. But this is how Paul begins. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Paul wanted the church to understand. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We're going to probably come back to that verse next week. It'll fit in more with what we're going to talk about next week, but it's a pretty significant verse. I don't want to just read over it. We'll talk a bit about how we are, there's unity and there's a bit of variety, right? Verses 4, 5, and 6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. It's kind of a foundational theological point. And then Paul says this, I mean, if you get nothing else today, get this. We'll see this again. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So we can help each other. Right? So we're going to, all the way through this series, actually a lot of what we do is try to talk about how the kingdom of God is different than what we call modern day Babylon. For many of us, the moment we think gift, we go back to Christmas morning and what am I getting for me? This is really countercultural. This is, I mean, even you might need to stretch your imagination to wrap your mind around this a little bit, but this is a gift given to you. But I don't know if we want to say it's not for you. It is for you, but it's not about you, right? It's what you can do for others. Verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. And then notice verse 11. It's pretty significant. Again, because we don't always get to pick. Actually, we don't get to pick the gifts that we're given. But I want you to hear this. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So this good God who has called you into existence, He has personally picked out a gift or more for you to exercise for the sake of his body. And then I'll read a few more verses because it'll just give you a little bit more of a flavor. Paul's going to use, I mean, he loves metaphor, so he's going to use this metaphor. Many of you have heard this before many times, right? The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. We all drink from the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And again, he's working with these ideas of we're given different gifts, right? And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. You need to hear that too. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. It's not accidental that you have the gifts that you have. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I'll stop there in Corinthians. The next verse says, in fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You can keep reading if you want, but Paul's just trying to lay out this understanding of why does the Spirit move the way he does. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Again, you'll just, again, a different, this feels like a slightly different list, but it's all the same idea. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. In other words, use your gift. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Again, you're just, again, seeing just kind of a landscape of what kinds of gifts the Spirit gives. How about Ephesians chapter 4? Pick up in verse 11, still the Apostle Paul. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's why we always aim at Jesus. And let me just drop down to verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Right? Or how about Peter? That's all Paul. Peter, we just got two verses from Peter. But again, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Listen to what he says right out of the gate. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. There's no real confusion in the early church. God has given a variety of gifts to his people. Use them, but use them to serve one another. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, all glory and power to him forever and ever. And Peter says, amen. Amen. Well, three things, if you're paying attention, three things I want to say if you're a follower of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives good gifts. And your gift is not about you. As I said, it's unlike any other gift. Every other gift that you and I tend to receive in modern day Babylon is about me. But this gift is not about me. It's not really for me. It's for my brothers and sisters. In modern day Babylon, it's often communicated that the purpose of life is you getting your needs met at a cost that is beneficial to you. But it's all about you getting your needs met, right? But in the church, what makes the church go is serving one another. When you follow a crucified Messiah who willingly lays down his life for others, when you follow someone who before his death pauses with his followers to wash their feet, you learn that this is an entirely different kind of kingdom. Different way of living, where we learn to put the needs of others ahead of our own. And in many ways, and this is countercultural too, because we're such an individualistic culture these days, but there's something about the church where we learn to put the community ahead of the individual. What does that look like? And again, read the New Testament, you'll discover. So maybe that's crystal clear, but let me give you a little story that I want to use as a metaphor that will hopefully help make this clear and maybe make you hungry. So last weekend, my son Jay had a basketball tournament in Wisconsin, and we were driving home, and it was over an hour drive, and I was kind of tired, and so I wanted to get coffee. And my son got it into his mind that he wanted a dark cherry milkshake from Oberweis. Have you ever had a dark cherry milkshake from Oberweis? They're so good. But we don't usually go to Oberweis unless grandma and grandpa are in town because it is expensive. It's like a meal for a milkshake. But he played good. I was getting coffee and Kami chimed in. Yeah, let's go to Oberweis. We'll get a large milkshake and Jay and I'll share it. How do you say no to that, right? So I get my coffee. I get them a dark cherry milkshake. Large. Oh. And it's always, okay, I'm driving, I'm paying, I get a sip, right? So I take my sip, and then Jay's got it, and we drive. It's a long drive. I finish my coffee, and, you know, we have a smaller car, and the cup holder's right here. Jay's in the backseat, but the shake's right there. And so three times, I think, Jay would remember, I don't know, two or three times. Three times while I'm driving, I just reach back, grab his milkshake, and take a sip. And you know what happens. Even though the only reason he has that thing is that I bought it for him. You get the, Dad, that's mine! Which I get it, right? I mean, I gave it to him. But my point is that's how we think about gifts. That's mine! Dude, I'm driving. Man, I got coffee breath. It's so good. Dad's mine, right? But I want you to think, just play out this analogy with me and see if this sits with you. I was thinking about this. Your spiritual gift is like you being given a dark cherry Oberweis milkshake. And you know how good it is. But your joy is in sharing it with others. Now, some of you are immediately like, I can't get past the fact that I'm holding the milkshake and I can't drink it. I can only share it with, you can only share it with others. I have a feeling you'll discover a joy you didn't even know possible as you learn to share a gift God has given you with others, because we were made in the image of love to live love, right? But here's the other piece, and maybe we don't think about this because we live in modern day Babylon. If I understand the Spirit of God and what he's doing in the church, somebody else here at CrossU, maybe a couple people, also have dark cherry milkshakes. And they're looking for you to share it with you. So you've got one and you're sharing it with others, but you still need your dark cherry fixed, right? You need it. But somebody else has it. And they want to share it with you. And so you share your cup with others, but somebody else comes along and shares with you. And we love one another and we minister to one another and we use our gifts to exemplify Christ and bring glory to him. But we use it for the sake of the other. I mean, you tracking with me a little bit here? How about a definition for a spiritual gift? I mean, it's kind of clear, but let me just... Actually, I have this from the very first church I served at in Kansas City. It stuck with me. It's not even fancy. It's just straight to the point. A spiritual gift is a spirit-empowered ability freely given to the believer by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving others and building up the church for the good of all. It's a pretty good definition. A spirit-empowered ability freely given to the believer by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of serving others and building up the church for the good of all. So what are the gifts? I'm not going to delineate them all. I mean, you can do a small group or a Sunday school or something like that on the gifts if you want at some point. I've seen many different lists, and people even debate, is that a gift or is that a gift? Is that the same gift or are those different gifts? There's probably at least 20 of them. But I read all the text because I wanted you to see no list is identical. And you will come across, some people give priority to some of these passages over others. I just think that they weren't intended to be complete and exhaustive. But what you're being communicated is the Spirit of God gives good gifts, and there's a variety. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I think there's really an infinite expression of the gifts of the Spirit. I want to point out that some of them actually seem and sound really spectacular, and many of them don't. I mean, maybe that's even why Paul uses this image. I mean, who wants to be a toe, but you all know we need a toe, right? So, some of the gifts aren't that extraordinary, but everything's needed. The hand can never say to the foot, I don't need you. Right? We need one another. Whatever. And we don't pick, right? We all know. You've got that gift. I know you didn't pick it. The Spirit of God gave it to you. Thanks for using it, right? I mean, it's not a competition. We're all in this together. It's for all of us. So when I talk about the variety of gifts, I like to remind us that God is an artist. Again, this is kind of countercultural for how we often think. God is not an industrialist. God does not mass produce anything. He's an artist, and he makes things one of a kind. He's not an efficient industrialist. He's a meticulous artist, which is why I think you get an infinite number of gifts. You've got different people with different personalities, and the gifts, I do believe, they come in clusters. They cluster together, and because of that, they modify one another. And if you add to that different group sizes and ages and experiences and histories, you may be able to say that your gift matrix is almost as unique as a fingerprint. And there are certain people that only you can help. I think it's really important for everyone here at CrossView to understand your gift matrix is a unique combination to help other people in this church family grow in Christ Jesus. And it's quite possible that God has uniquely gifted you in this season because someone else is here and they need your unique fingerprint. Or they need it now. If you don't do it, God will gift somebody else to do it, right? But take advantage. Partner with God. Use your gift. I mean, again, I've said this before, but I like to say this. If there was ever an excuse for mass producing something, it would be snowflakes, right? But we're told that no two snowflakes are identical. It's just not how God does things. He makes things one at a time. God seems to want it that way. He doesn't make cheap imitation. God is personally at work in your life to make you a beautiful work of art, adding to the beauty. Each one of us, and I hope you know this. I know we wrestle with this too. We wrestle with all kinds of voices. But each one of us is to be a beautiful work of art in Christ. And as we gather together, as we live together, as we serve together, we tell a unique story of our common faith. That's what kind of what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. We share a common faith. We confess Jesus is Lord, but we also have a unique story. That's why I love to hear testimonies. No testimony is boring. Every testimony is an incredible encounter with Jesus, right? And I know that my story isn't like yours, but it has a family resemblance. And it's similar enough for us to both know, oh, we're following Jesus together. The Spirit of God is at work in our lives. But our stories are different. They don't look exactly the same because we're unique, because God doesn't mass produce anything, because no two snowflakes are alike. So none of us are exactly alike. I want to pause here and say this sometimes is hard for churches, for church cultures, and for pastors. I've seen this in my own time. Sometimes we want to prioritize our gift and prioritize our story. We want others, and sometimes it's with good intentions, we want others to go on the same journey we went on because we saw how God was faithful to us and where he led us. But sometimes we get caught in a trap and we begin to think that someone else's faith isn't authentic because their story isn't just like my story. Their gift cluster isn't exactly like my gifting. They learn things in a different order than we do. Let me say it this way. The spiritually immature person thinks other people can only encounter Christ the way they do. So they become suspicious of others who have very different stories. Maybe those people haven't really encountered Christ because the story is just too different, right? But the mature person understands that God is an artist, that everything is meticulously beautified personally by a God who knows us, who loves us so intensely in Christ that he is at work in a variety of ways in the lives of his people. And we don't have to make other people conform to our experience. Or say it this way, God isn't trying to make clones. He's not trying to make us all alike. We aren't all alike. We need to allow for God's creativity to manifest itself among us and to celebrate that. So as that uniquely applies to gifts then, I mean, you're already tracking, but let me say it clearly. Don't get caught comparing yourself with other people. I mean, you can be aware. It's good to be aware. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get jealous. Oh, I wish I had that gift. Oh, I wish I had that gift. Or I feel guilty because I only have this gift. God doesn't view it that way. God's like, I handpicked you for that gift. And once you begin to unleash that gift in your church family, look out. You'll know the joy of God. I mean, we all know the way to instantly lose all your joy and peace is to start comparing yourself with others. There's a lot of ways that I try to protect our church from that unnecessary legalistic competition that can come into churches or any religious community. We don't need that here. We're grateful, we're patient, we're not trying to outdo each other. We're just trying to serve one another. That's what we're here for. That's what God has gifted us for. We need to learn to be okay, to be open. And I recognize that this is a faith journey in a consumer culture that tells you to just get what you want and get it now. But we need to be open to what I would say is the reality and the fact that God really does know better than we do. And he did not give you the gift he gave you because he doesn't think you could do something else. No, he knows right now that you are uniquely positioned at Crossview to use your gift to help edify this church. Now, what I've been saying, and the reason we've done the series the way we've done it, is that there's a difference between the gifts and the fruit. The last 3 weeks, if you were with us, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian is supposed to have all the fruits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's called of all of us. But we don't have all the gifts. The goal isn't to be amazing. The goal is to be loving. If you go back and you spend more time in these passages, Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 that I read lead directly into, of course, Romans 12, 9 and following, and Paul's going to talk about love. Here's the gifts. Let's talk about love. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, one of the most famous passages on love is intentionally placed in the middle as Paul talks about the gifts, because Corinth was getting crazy. And Paul's like, no, we got to come back to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's where we get the mathematics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, right? Anything minus love is nothing. God might give you a gift, but if you lack love, zero. Nothing. So let me say it this way. If love is the goal, again, this is why we spent 3 weeks on the fruit and we're spending 1 week on the gifts. If love is the goal, it is more important for you to develop your character and let the gifts fall where they may. I don't think you have to choose. I don't think it's God's heart that you would choose. He wants you to cultivate fruit and exercise the gifts that he gives. But if you have to choose... choose developing your character and growing in love. If you don't grow in maturity, you can damage yourself or others by exercising your gift. If you lack love, you will hurt others. Now, I started with my silly little demonstration of juggling, and I'm happy I didn't drop any in front of you. But let me just say clearly at this point in the sermon, gifts are different than talents or skills. You can't just assume that something you do well as a natural talent or a hobby or a skill you've developed will necessarily be used inside the church in that way as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think that happens. But again, it comes with a unique gifting of the Holy Spirit. I think I've said this before, but the last church that I served at before I came to Crossview is an hour east of here in a very affluent part of Chicagoland. And almost every single person in our church family was a high-level leader. But imagine if everybody in our church who was a high-level leader assumed their gift was their talent and everyone came to church to lead. Imagine leading a whole room of leaders who were all trying to lead. It'd be chaos. It didn't happen. I mean, people who were high-level leaders came to serve, gifted to serve, gifted to encourage, gifted to show mercy. Yeah, they're leaders, but they weren't gifted to lead in the church in that season. Maybe in other seasons, not that, you know. You can't just assume that your talent, that's why you'll probably never see me juggle again in church, because I don't need to. It's just a talent. There's other gifts. The other thing I'll say here is avoid gift cop-out. Many of the gifts, as you read through them or learn about them, are also things that are called for every Christian to live. So some of you, and we probably know it actually, some of you are uniquely gifted in mercy. I could name a few of your names right now. I won't do it. Some of you are uniquely gifted in mercy, and so you exhibit it in a Christ-like manner that inspires and teaches the rest of us. But we're all called to mercy, right? Or maybe one of the harder ones in the time we live in. Some of you are uniquely gifted in evangelism. I mean, you just talk about Jesus and people are like, sign me up. Praying right now. Let's get baptized, right? Not all of us are gifted in evangelism, but we're all called to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know him. We might not have the same harvest as those who are gifted by the Spirit in this season, but we're all, you understand, you can't say, oh, I'm not gifted in that, therefore I don't have to do that. No, we all follow Jesus. But again, that's why we do it together. You're not gifted in evangelism? Well, talk to your friend about Jesus and then introduce them to your friend at church who is, right? So don't use it as a gift cop-out. Which leads us again to the natural final question. How do you know what gift you have? How do you know how God has gifted you? And again, I'm so like, if you know me, like I'm not a one-size-fits-all discipleship guy, and I'm very careful about getting overly simplistic or formulaic, because really the core of our Christian faith is about a relationship with God. So lean into this relationship with God and let Him, who is the great artist, show you in His personal ways how He's gifted you. So read through the Bible. I mean, you will see story after story, at least in the narrative portions, of people who have been gifted by God. And just what catches your attention? Just pay attention. Read through the list. Just pay attention. What are the things? Okay, what are the things that are called out as gifts? You know, pay attention in our church. I believe, actually, praise God, I believe the gifts of the Spirit are on display at our church all the time. Just pay attention to people around you. Just see what God's up to. Sit with Jesus and talk to Him. Be in prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, I don't know my gifts. Show me. But I'll give you three ways that I heard from a pastor who actually is no longer alive. It's from a sermon a while ago. But these three words really stuck out to me. And I think it actually really has made sense of my observance of people discovering their gifts, my own discovery as well. This pastor used the three words of ability, affinity, and opportunity. Ability, affinity, and opportunity. Obviously, if the Spirit has gifted you, you're able to do it. You have ability. And maybe some surprising ability. You probably still have to develop that ability. You can still grow in your gift, but there's ability there. Affinity, it's great when you also like what you're doing, right? But if you read through the Bible, not everybody wants to do what God has gifted them to do. So again, I just want to say, in a consumer culture that is so wired around what we like and what we want and what is comfortable and what is easy, that's not how God always works. And so while it's awesome when your ability aligns with your affinity, I don't want your affinity to drive everything because it's just going to drive a self-oriented culture. Well, I do what I like to do when I like to do it. So I really think the best way is just opportunity. What's needed right now in the church that I call family? Where is a space? Because some of you, because I really do think the gifts change in different seasons. I think my gifting has changed over time. I just think God is this great artist who, God, and this should be good news to you. This is countercultural too, I think. God did not look at you when you were 21 and say, you're done. You got all you need. No, God has continued to grow you and work with you, and maybe He's given you a new gift in the new decade of life, you know? Maybe you were in another church and you were gifted, but now you're here across you. He's gifted you. Maybe you've been across you for a long time, but in this season, He's gifted you in a different way. This is how God works. So really, I think opportunity, you know, you have ability, affinity, and opportunity, but opportunity is usually the best place to start. Just start serving, get in a group. And I can say with pretty high confidence that our church is really, we've learned how to call out gifts when we see them in others. All the time as a pastor, I hear people, you know, I did this, I was serving at church, I did this, and this person told me how well I did it. We do that as a church. Some of the best ways to find out how the Spirit of God has gifted you, because our gifts are for others, is when the others tell us how God used us. Pay attention. Every time someone says to you, man, God really used you. Man, when you said, what? When you said this? When I said that? Yeah. Well, pay attention to that. Maybe the Spirit of God has gifted you in that way. Whatever it might be, mercy, kindness, service, teaching, leadership, you know, you can go through the list. And I'll say this about our church. I was thinking about this. I think we've had a bunch of conversations. We're still having conversations. I think we have a really good idea of who we are, what we're passionate about. We're really passionate about Jesus and discipleship. But I was even thinking in my 7 to 8 years here, we're open to the Spirit of God doing new things, even just for a season. So one of the things that came to mind for me is a few years ago, there were two women in our church who felt called and gifted to serve families with special needs children. And so they serve families in our congregation, and their love overflowed into the community. They served families within our community. And it was a 2 or 3 year deal where these two women just used this gift from the Spirit to bless others. But then stuff happened in both of their lives, and they couldn't, we called it buddy break, they couldn't keep buddy break going. And so buddy break, it was 2 or 3 years here at Crossview, and then it stopped. But that was great. For 2 or 3 years, the Spirit of God gifted those ladies, and they enacted their gift, and they blessed a lot of people, right? I mean, I just, so we know who we are. There's some things that aren't going to change, but then sometimes the Spirit of God will do something new, and we just ride with the Spirit until he does something else, and we trust him, and God leads us, and we point people to Jesus. It all starts with the Holy Spirit. God is a great artist. And you know, you never interfere with a great artist at work. The Holy Spirit is turning people into his beautiful work of art. You've been given a gift by someone you esteem, you trust, and you respect. And this someone, this God, esteems you. You're unique, and you'll be your own unique work of art composed in Christ. And as I said, artists hate it when you come and tell them what to do. So trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, making you his work of art. Believe the Holy Spirit is at work. Have faith in God and let God take care of what he's doing. You don't need an agenda for what God needs to do. Just believe that he loves you. He's smarter than you. He's deeply committed to you. And allow the Spirit of God to bless you. And then just enjoy the adventure as you begin to bless others. So what I want to do now is pray for you and kind of, in a sense, maybe commission you, in a sense, to enact your gifts if you aren't already, or maybe many of you already are. I mean, I know you are. And then we'll head into communion. So if you bow your heads. Holy Spirit, since you are the giver of gifts, I'm going to pray that you would stir in each of our hearts this morning. Now, there may be a few people here who are new to church, new to this whole Christian thing. Spirit of God, we'll talk more about this next week, but we know that you point people to Jesus. Would you point those of us here this morning to Jesus? Help us to understand with clarity what Jesus did on the cross, that he's alive, that he's our Lord. Spirit of God, I know that most of the people in this room already know you. So I pray that you would anoint them afresh this morning. Lord, we know that you have personally picked out gifts for each of your followers here. And I commission them in your name to go forth and work in the family business, to do the work of God. To be the hands and feet of Jesus, to use what you've given them to bring glory to God. Would we be a church that honors the gifts that you give us and use them not for ourselves, but for others? Amen.